welcome to our chat in the garden with Monique AJ Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, this closes out our anniversary month of 9 years, 9 seasons of a chat in the garden. I am just in awe that I was consistent for 9 years joining you every week. Joining you with some of the most prolific, significant women of color in athletics and sport. It really is a joy. And we celebrate together. And as many of you know, we moan together. And it's the love that will lift us up during some of our most tragic times. And so community is important. I think the pandemic taught us that you can't take things for granted. And I don't take you, the listener, for granted. And it's a joy to continue to bring you together. That's the most important thing. And to highlight you to the marketplace, because that's one of the reasons why I started the podcast. Before we had DEI professional, I was the one saying, hey, you can't tell me you'll know where they are because they're right here in the garden. And with our companion Facebook group of 2,500 people, with 95% of them being black women in the business, yeah. You can't use that statement any longer. And I must admit, I'm really pleased. In the last month, I've had at least 10 inquiries to me to ask me for recommendations for jobs. And so, hey, I'm just glad that the Lord decided to put me in a position that I can do so. And that's one reason why I'm excited. I just updated a syllabus because I got a brand new class to oversee at Hampton University. I will be over the sports management practicum course. And y'all know me, I was already putting my students in internships and practicums before the title began. And look, here's the interesting thing. One of the students that I first did that with, I want to say about 5-6 years ago, was in my class, and I believe it was Thanksgiving week or something. Nobody was in the class, but she came to class. She was a smart cookie. And I said, well, let's just talk about what you want to do in your career. And she said she wanted to be a sports lawyer. I said, well, what are you going to do over the break or over the summer? And she said, I'm going to work with a law firm. I said, do they have a sports entity? No. So why are we interning with them? Well, you know, lawyer. I'm like, well, why are you going to do that? And I said, why don't you? And, again, she wasn't ready to take the course for internship, but I believe in doing internships where you get a grade for it or not, just because, again, the more interns you do, the more you forget what you don't want to do. Yeah, and so I think I placed it with one of my folks, and over the summer, I think it was compliance, and she did very well, great. Fast forward, she's finished grad school. She just completed her first year as a full-time athletic administrator at a Delphi over facilities. You're talking about a proud mama bear. I really am. And this is the part that tickled me. She asked me last week, do I know anyone who's looking for a grad assistantship? Because she's hired. You try to hear what I said. She is looking for someone who wants a grad assistantship at Adelphi in the Long Island area. Because she's hiring. I was like, go ahead, girl, go ahead. So I just hooked her up with Chantel Hill, that used to be, I think she still is. She's a graduate of Long Island, but I know that she would have some connections down there. And that's what I do. All I do is just connect people. I connect vines and minds. Yes, I do. But, yeah, so that being said, if you have an interest of having a Hanson student on your campus next semester, because even as a practicum this semester, I'm preparing for an internship the next semester, which is all, it's the only thing they're going to be taking. But for the practicum, if you have a project that will require 80 hours, let me know ASAP. The classes start, this class is next Thursday. And also if you have an event, that would probably be helpful too, an event that you can utilize my students, please let me know. And I'm an avid believer in internships because that's how I got into this business. It was 1988 and I interned for the CIAA my sophomore year as a sports PR intern. And I never forget it because my first day was on a Sunday, and it was Super Bowl Sunday. And when I got back to the dorm, I saw the historic Super Bowl with Doug Williams. Yeah, yeah. You know, when you're a sports person, you live your life and remember what was going on in your life pertaining to sports. Hey, that's just how it is. I hope you can hear my smile. But last week, I was still smiling, but we were a little bit more serious. Again, thank you to the Drake Group for having me on this webinar, Critical Issues for Athletic Programs at HBCUs. We had a really interesting conversation from a range of esports to name, image, and likeness to Title IX. The one I thought was quite interesting was athletic development, which is the fundraising arm. Excellent. And I'm sure that it will be a replay in some type of format. Shout out to Dr. Hughes, who was a moderator who brought me on. And this group really is a group that's mission is to defend academic integrity and higher ed from corrosion aspects of commercializing college sports. And I just thought that was quite interesting about our piece. And my colleagues, Dr. Tim Orr, who I share office suite with, he was on there with me, Dr. Kiata Cavill of Texas Southern University, and retired athletic director from North Carolina Central, Dr. Ingrid Wicker McCree, gave some excellent background to APR. I thought it was very interesting. And some of the solutions and tools that they use. And all I'm going to say is this, and she did not pay me to say this, but, hey, she has got her consultant shingle out. She did some great things in 14 years of being an athletic director and almost 30 years of being on that campus and turning things around. You really, really should bring her to do some assessments and to assist you in those areas. And she was quite transparent. You know, it did take the embarrassment of having a low APR in order to change things around. And just like when I teach compliance to my students, you know, you can learn from somebody else's mistake. You just got to be willing to invite people in to show you where they can see a similarity so you can avoid that serious pitfall. And that fall is quite deep. And sometimes we don't get back up. So utilize Dr. Ingrid Wicker McCree. I think wealth of knowledge, and not just an API, just several things that she said. And speaking of using the resources in the garden, man, oh, man, oh, man, when I read about the young lady that plays volleyball for Duke, and I did read somewhere that her sister is on the volleyball team at Hamptons, but I got to find her. Richardson was her name. She was playing at a tournament at BYU, and racial slurs were slung at her while she was serving and playing. And this is just unacceptable. This is unacceptable. But interesting enough, again, it takes social media to shed light, because this is not the first time this has probably happened, but this is the first time that the airways are taking it, and hopefully it's going to take us to a place of change. But the one thing I want to be able to say, because Ava Amaker of A&A Athletics Consultant has been saying you need training. You know, what are you going to do in situations like this? And I keep hitting her up. I'm like, tell us what in your toolbox that you have that can prevent this from happening. Because here's the thing, like she says, policy to practice. You know, you can say if XYZ happens, this is what will happen, but it's on ink. The people in play don't know that. And so that's one of the things that's the outcry is how and when did the administration find out, and what was their plan of action? Now, from what I understand, that they did put police on the bench of the volleyball team. I'm not really certain of how long this person was allowed to be in the stand. And that's the part that I have concerns with. It should have been immediate. And it doesn't make a difference whether that person is a student or not. You know, all the time volleyball, you don't pay a price. So it's not like you need to reimburse anybody for buying a ticket. So this is why I really, really, really think that the tools that ANA Athletics has is the educational risk management consultant firm that has a Vigilant Safety Training Center. And the center has the following: first responding training, sport and event staff certification. This is where I want to just pinpoint sport and event staff certification. And I believe that she can give this to you virtually. You need to make sure, we just talking about volleyball, that you know, your staff, your student staff, your outside purchase staff understands that part of their job as it relates to safety and what are the action practices that you actually take. Do they know that? And, you know, if you just pull a class and you have them out there and they don't know how to address that, then you need to hurry up and have a policy of how to go about training them quickly and efficiently. And so I would really, really, really implore you to go and use these resources. Her other area of certification is workspace safety and personal training and operations. So operations will also fall into that. But event staff is key. Those are the people that wear the yellow jackets. Yeah, how much do they know about how to deal with this? And what other signs? It really should not have been a student-athlete bringing it to anybody's attention. It should have been the event staff removing without it even being something that even hit the airwaves of this young lady. So go to Vigilant, VigilantSTC.com. Vigilant, VigilantSTC.com to get your staff certified, so then you will not be the next case on social media of not responding in the correct manner as it relates to racial slurs, because you do know that people do copycat. But let us copycat in the way of having corrective action so we can learn again from someone else's mistake. All right. Seawall Foundation is branching off from her media. When I say that, man, she is all up in the football piece of the Washington Commanders. She can tell you who's about to get cut and everything. So she knows about her media, but she is offering, she has a branch of her foundation now where she wants to do media training for student athletes. I say with name, image, and likeness on that, this is an important training. Kanye Waller, a founder, has extensive background with Seawall Sports and Entertainment. And I like to say that we want to prepare our players for lights, camera, action so we don't have sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, email her at info@seawallfoundation.org to get this course for your student athletes. And I would say I think it's really important for our youth. AAU is doing a lot of exposure using social media, and they need to be trained. And I say this because most of our professional athletes take their displeasure out in social media and attack their coaches and attack their players, their teammates. And we need to show our student athletes how to correctly engage with the media and not use it to shed the bad light of a team. G. Butler, most of our athletes on campus, especially now, even the classes start next week, like Hampton has their first game this Saturday against Howard, and we're going to really battle out who the real HU is. But for me, it's no battle because I say HIU. But, hey, we need to engage with our students. We got to teach them how to look up from their phone. And I say get this book called The 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete and use it as a conversation tool with your student athlete. I think I'm on tip number 13 and tip number 12. My goodness, it's like five pages. But tip 13, teammates equal family. Isn't that true? One of the fears that some incoming freshman athletes have is how the upperclassmen will treat them. And she goes on to talk about her experience. And I remember when my nephew went to play football and his identity of being the man from high school to college was quite disturbing. You know, he called his mother crying, you know, because nobody was really talking to him. You know, interesting enough, his grades were good enough that he didn't have to go in the summer time before school started. But those young men already knew each other, and he felt isolated. And, you know, that's one of the Maslow's hierarchy needs, this feeling like you belong. And here's the thing. They don't know that's what their issue is. They just know they feel uncomfortable. They don't know that their feelings are natural. And adults need to be able to help them with that. And so this book will help them have that conversation. And Z. Butler has a second book, too, The Mental State of Sports. So that kind of couples into that. You know, and we need to be able to be able to guide them to do that. That's why athletic identity is something Z. Butler really concentrates on. So go get your copy today at payhip.com/theballcode. Payhip.com, the ball code. Ayesha Foy, The Success Manager, is a book that I just met her mother the weekend, okay, and I just had to tell her, you should be so proud of your daughter. She's not even 30 years old, and her book is fantastic from a professional and personal development book. This book is up there with a John Maxwell. She really, really, really takes her experience of being, to be honest, an entitled student athlete who was elite and could not and was not coachable on the college side and was disgruntled. Again, did not know that she was going through an identity crisis. But somehow something clicked in her and said, well, let me work on me. Let me work on me because that's what I got control over. And when she worked on me, it was from a personal and professional development. Now, I'm saying this. If you got some problem children on your team, and I would say even on your staff, this is an excellent book to put in their hands. Because I believe that what books are reads and reads are seeds. And you can plant a seed with somebody to have for course correction. Because if you just tell them you got a poor behavior, they're not going to take It's not going to take root with them. But if you give them a read that can take root with them, then they take ownership of change. And this is why when I give this book as a gift to everyone that I encounter and am grateful for it. Which reminds me, I got a thank you note to send out today. So get your copy today at successmajorbook.com. That's successmajorbook.com. Now, the magazine has been out for about a month and a half. This is the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. I'm really proud of this magazine because it does have some heavy hitters. And our Meet the Contributor series begins again next week, next Wednesday, September the 7th, with the head coach of Temple University. I'm ecstatic about Coach Rich being with me Facebook Live within our private Facebook group at Chatner Gardens, Monique A.J. Smith. I'm just ecstatic. I've had her on the podcast years ago when I was doing work with the National Title IX Conference and Classes. But just the fact that she found value in the magazine and invested to be in it, I just can't wait to hear what she has to say about it. And so join us next Wednesday, September the 7th at 6 p.m. within the Facebook group. And I do have two spots left for the fifth issue, all right? Got two spots left. So if you want to take this journey with me, email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CJEmpowerment.info. Again, two spots left for the fifth issue. And email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CJEmpowerment.info. And you can still... you can get copies, all copies, matter of fact, from Amazon. But if you want the PDF, you can go to payhip.com/CJEmpowerment. Again, it's payhip, payhip.com/CJEmpowerment and get the PDF from all four issues. We'll be glad to put that in the mail for you if you do buy any of the other copies. And my last commercial for the day is Surviving the Lights, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. The curse is the financial woes of not understanding the money and who you select to oversee that. You'd be really surprised the concept. Well, maybe you wouldn't be, but our young people are, because we've heard the stories from entertainment, not necessarily sports, that when a young person gets the money, if an agent has spent a certain number of dollars, they plan on recouping it after you get your contract, and your contract may not happen until 4 months after you sign it. Yeah, all of that. All of that. And so Uncle Joe, who has the car dealership, who does his own taxes and all of that, may not understand all of that from this business. And so I learned this, and again, this book was written before May Image and Likeness, and this is another reason why you need to get it, because our students are now, not necessarily professional athletes, but they're receiving money. And how do they navigate that and avoid the curse? And I would say even avoid the curse of losing scholarship because of the amount of money that they do get. And, you know, free money, you still got to pay taxes. Free car, still got to pay taxes. So we need to be able to educate them. So this is a book, again, you put the book in their hand and go like, ooh, I didn't know that. So this book is offered on Amazon in three different formats. It is paperback, audio, and ebook, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. Well, I am excited, because I've never talked to her, but I feel like I have because I have binged on her podcast. Erica Fernandez, senior social producer from the Sporting News and the host of the Curls and Sports podcast. Welcome to the garden, Erica. Erica, are you there? It says that you're on the line. Hello. So we're going to take a short commercial here while we try to locate her. So they said she's on here and unmuted, but we don't hear you, Erica. So we're going to take a commercial and see if we can find
her. Hey. Hey, guys. Here. It's been going off quiet a couple of times, but I've been here 32 minutes and running.
Okay. Well, did you hear your cheers?
I could hear you guys now. It's been cutting out in and out.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So you didn't hear your cheers?
No.
Oh, wow. Well, we just did a clap up for you saying welcome to the garden. So welcome to the garden.
Oh, but thank you. It's okay. Technical issues happen all the time. But thank you so much for having me. I also want to say congratulations listening to all the achievements that you've been involved in. It's all so awesome. It's so inspiring.
Thank you so much, dear. And when you hear my questions, you're going to see, I feel like you have been in my ear as you've been talking. Just so everybody can know you like I know you. Let everybody know your journey from college to your current position.
Yeah, for sure. I've been in sports almost 9 years now, and I first started out doing sports writing, and I think that one thing's for sure is that people forget that, you know, while yes, you may work for free for a while, you also deserve to get some sort of pay for your hard work, your time, your energy. So that's one piece of advice I would like to put out now before I go into the journey. Don't work for free for so long. You know, don't do it as long as I did, if anything. But yeah, I started working out for blogs, and I ended up writing for another website for a long time that ended up giving me credentials. And then that's where I ended up applying to a position with DAZN. And DAZN at the time, they were very much anti-pay-per-view. Now things have shifted because, you know, the pandemic changed a lot of that that dynamic. And for DAZN, I used to be their bilingual social media editor. So English is my second language, first generation, and I would do everything in Spanish for the account. And then, unfortunately, laid off. And then we don't talk about how tough it is to go through layoffs in life. But after experiencing that, I think it's important for those things to happen because it kind of just forces you to take a pause and take a backseat and see everything that you've accomplished. So then the pandemic hit, and that's when a lot of stuff was up in the air. And, you know, even still, I was still interviewing. I was still applying, trying to, you know, somehow stay focused and on track. And I also decided to start a podcast. And, you know, right now I'm working on that consistency. So listening to you, how you've been doing this consistently for 9 years, that's inspiring. And it led me to also apply to a position with the Sporting News, and I've been with them for 7 months now, and I've learned so much in this opportunity. I'm literally doing all sports, and it's really cool to see, you know, to be able to use like platforms like Adobe Premiere, Adobe Photoshop, and just learn more about it and be able to create. It's a side of sports I wasn't able to, because at DAZN we had a graphic design team. So we just gave them our ideas. But here, in a sense, I'm the one who's creating these ideas. So it's pretty cool. And at Sporting News, I am a senior social producer. So everything that you see across on our platforms, either I did it or my colleagues did it. But it's been great. And, you know, we're just growing the brand at this point because Sporting News is a household name. A lot of people started here before they ended up going to the Bleacher Reports or the ESPNs of the world. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, here on this podcast, we really try to concentrate on career journey, because people who always ask me, how do I get into the business? I said, listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. So where did you go to college?
I went to Fordham University in the Bronx. In New York, sorry. Let me be more specific, because I'm New York all day, every day. So I have to remind myself that not everyone knows where that is.
Right. So what was your major?
My major is, was communications in TV broadcast.
Okay.
And
so
I minored in Spanish.
Okay. So how did you gravitate to sports when you went to college,
Yeah, I've always had a passion for sports, and ironically, even when I entered Fordham, I was a pre-law student, and then I realized, no, there's no way I'm going to law school. I'm not interested. I don't want to do this. So I went through the communications program instead, and I ended up really liking it. I had a lot of passionate professors, and they were all amazing. They were very motivating, very much intrigued with everything that we had to do. But yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. I'm really, really happy that I ended up going there.
Yeah, but did you have a sports? When is sports? I mean, you just said communication. So how did you, was that a class?
No, it wasn't a class. I didn't take it out. I've always had a passion for sports, so I kind of just went the writing route to try to see how I can get into the field. And I feel like whenever people ask, like, how did you get into sports, you can't really give everybody a set blueprint, because you kind of make your own journey, and you can't really follow the footsteps of others. So that's where it's tough, because not a lot of people stick it out as well, because a lot of opportunities are not being given to former athletes, and that's another thing that we're competing with. Like, I've applied to several opportunities on air. I've gotten on air experience, but you know, someone retires, you know, obviously that person is way more recognized and way more likable. So they're going to give that opportunity to that person. So, I remember post college just thinking like, all right, how can I get into this field? And I said, all right, let me just, you know, start writing about post game recap, adding some stats. And then the power of Twitter helped out a lot. I started networking with a lot of people and just kind of building my platforms through there. And Twitter, to me, is the greatest of all time. It's where people still write full sentences. People still are talking about post-game reaction. They're sharing their thoughts on anything that's going on. So that's where I kind of got my start. And then, you know, just started growing from there. And then everything turned into video, especially with Instagram. So started showcasing my interviews on both YouTube and Instagram. And kind of just kept working at it, if I'm honest with you. I can't really answer that question. It's tough to put it in the
nutshell. So when you were doing these recaps, you were just doing it. You weren't doing it for an entity, correct?
Yep.
And so I think that's great because many young people, I mean, like if you walk into any type of, if you walk down the street and have some young people sitting on a bench, they're going to be talking about what happened the game the night before, you know. So The same things that you would do naturally, you have access to do it in social media to gain a following. And so I think that is really unique because, again,
Thank you.
No doubt, because that's why I wanted to really pinpoint that is because people are looking for young people that can be influencers. The day of having street team, now the street team is social media team. And if you can show that you can do that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I started out in sports information. That was my first job. And,
oh, wow.
That's why I kept asking you. I was like, oh, no, this is one of my main things was doing game notes after a game, you know, and all you're doing is sitting in.
Okay.
Yeah, and transcribing. And then the reporters would take that and put that in their own. And here's the thing. I was just telling someone that the initiative, see, the fact that you took initiative without somebody telling you this is needed, that's what people are looking for. And you see, like with me, I was telling somebody yesterday that I did volleyball stats because no one was doing it. They were all doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you were trying to find your niche and how to stand out from the rest. It's tough.
Well, I think I've always done that. Like, I mean, we brought bowling to the CIAA. You know, I'm not looking for, again, my point is I don't necessarily look for approval. I'll go and say, well, this is what's needed. Either you get on board or you don't. It's something I have not embraced 1,000% because I'm just so busy. It's the same thing about esports. When I first came into knowledge of that, I would just direct people, you know, to it and just say in general. But, again, folks who are, like, is bowling a sport? Is esports a sport? Well, guess what it is? Just because you not are familiar with it does not mean that it's not there. Again, when we did volleyball, only thing they wanted was a score. They didn't even care about how many kills, aces, digs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to educate people to influence them. And the fact that you use Twitter to not necessarily just inform them of whatever the sport that you are watching, but you inform them that a woman can have a sport eye.
I completely agree with all of that. It's so true because, you know, you try to make your own lane. You try to find a different angle of how to talk about it. In a world, we're so stuck on stats and everything. Like, you know, how do you stand up from the rest, though? I definitely agree with everything you just said.
And the human interest story is what they got me. You know, if you get a chance to know the background of an athlete that you, you know, have come into interest of the athletic prowess, then you kind of go like, oh, that's what makes them so intense about that. And then people find alignment. And they will follow. And I think that's where the story comes in. I teach sports PR, and that's what I tell them all the time. I was like, and I use Dawn Stanley as an extra example. She comes into South Carolina. which is, again, a red state, let's be clear. And, you know, the Confederate flag is still up when she gets there. And what does she do? She turns fans into family, right? And she connects with them. And she has the players connect with them. And she has got, I think, South Carolina is the number one attendance in Division I women's basketball. So that's how you do it.
Yeah, those that's human interest pieces, I completely agree. I hate when I see media tearing down athletes or, you know, trying to make them look cynical. That part of journalism never really interests me. Fake headlines, I really didn't like them as much as, you know, yes, Bill's got to get paid, but don't paint them to be the villain either. They're also human themselves.
And it's two things on the show before I go to commercial, and then I got some more questions because it really kind of goes down what you were trying to talk about mindset and layoff and whatnot. But I'm going to talk about media just a little bit more here. So it was Monday. I was on a podcast, a Hamptonian, talking about using the media for entrepreneurs, trying to use the media. They got to, you know, control your narrative. And I was sharing with him that I am speaking with the lacrosse players from Delaware State on Labor Day. They had a retreat. And I'm trying to, you know, tell them how to control their narrative, control their voices. They did an outstanding job, but, you know, from here, you know, where do they go as individuals? And I was sharing because we were trained by the same person at Hampton University in mass media. And I was appalled, and I'm just going to say it straight out. The New York Times article about the young people, the author, the writer, used it as an entrepreneur would. It's called hijacking media, where you take something that's going on now and then use it to sell yourself or sell your product. And in his case, he was selling his experience of also being pulled over. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but there was a lot that could have been unpacked as it relates to the student-athlete experience versus this man, writer, talking about how it happened to him. And his was 3/4, and theirs was 1/4. And I'm like, is this a commentary or is this a story about Delaware State? So that's my issue a little bit about the media. They kind of have gone commentary more than they go about the human interest story, the people they're covering, especially when it comes, to be honest, you know, people of color. We only one-dimensional. You don't show the other dimensions of the athlete. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree with that. You need to see both sides. And it definitely, and people are reading through it as well. Like, you can see a lot of people on social media talking about it. Like, oh, how come you don't talk about this? Or why don't you guys show this story? So I know, for example, like at Sporting News, we talk about that all the time. Like, we want to do a feel-good stories as well. We want to write amazing, compelling pieces of article, but at the same time, we just have to make sure we're delivering the news too. So it is a challenge, but those stories, they're awesome to hear too.
Yeah, I just think human interest stories will sell paper. I mean, let's just, I don't think Vogue and Time just put Serena up there and talk about her decision.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about her, they use it as a human interest story. And if they can take that in the mainstream, you know, what, I mean, that right now, there are 30-some athletes on the Delaware lacrosse team. You know, why can't there be a story for each one of them, how it affects them? You see what I'm saying? There could be a series mm-hmm. of that. You know, but you yeah. chose to talk about yourself. All right, that's the part again, there's a place for that, but when you have the written word and you have an opportunity to change mind and guide mind, you need to use that. So we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about your experience about the job search.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Did you know that athletic identity is one of the top three struggles athletes experience, especially in terms of their talent? My name is Zedrilyn Butler, and I am a former Division I NJCAA and NCAA women's basketball player. My book, 25 Tips for the Next Level Student Athlete, is a great resource for parents, coaches, and supporters to equip their college athletes. Pick up your copy at www.payhip.com/theballcode. Together, we can beat athletic identity.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Forrest, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Well, welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here on the Chat and Grow with Smithers Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Well, Erica, I have been binging on your podcast called The Curls in Sports Podcast, and you were talking about the job search, and you were really disappointed with not getting the job. Can we talk about that and how you came to say be kind to yourself? Because I got several clients that are on the fence waiting to hear that back, or or heard that they didn't get it. And I just thought what you said was so great.
I'm sorry, Monique. I don't know what's going on with the connection, but I was it was out and then out again, so I didn't hear anything you said.
Okay, so I was saying I have been binging on your podcast, the Curls and Sports podcast, and you were talking about the job search.
Mm-hmm.
And you were really disappointed with not getting a job. Can we talk about that and how you came to the thought process of being kind to yourself?
It definitely was tough at first because I was definitely really hard. And the pandemic didn't make it any easier, I have to say. I feel like I also came at a crossroads at one point, and I'm like, should I even bother with sports? Is this where I'm meant to be? I don't know. Should I have a plan B or C or even D? I talked with one of my best friends, and she was like, well, we're not our parents. And being first generation, you know, they came here with basically nothing. My parents still don't know English. And they only really worked one job, and then they retired from that. So, you know, we're not like trees. We can move around from place to place. But I knew that that's not what I wanted for myself. So I have no clue how I still kept sticking it out. And at what point, I have to admit, when I would get interviews, I wouldn't even get excited anymore. I would just say, okay, cool. It is what it is. You know, I just kept praying on it, and I said, I'm leaving it in your hands, but if I need to move away from the field, I need you to give me a sign because I don't know if I'm wasting my time. So I definitely became, in that sense, I definitely became a little cynical because I just wasn't sure where anything was going to go to, you know, and then a lot of us in the field were also feeling it as well. I had friends on friends who still kind of recuperating, still trying to find their rhythm. And I think what's upsetting these days, too, and a lot of people don't know about this, is the fact that there's so many unnecessary interviews as well, Monique. I interviewed last September. From September to December, I interviewed for 4 big companies, including Sporting News. And I had way too many interviews, spoke to way too many people that I don't even work with directly. So if that's one thing I would go back and suggest is, hey, if I'm not meeting with a managing editor or hiring manager or who would be my manager, I don't need to meet with my colleagues who would be my colleagues. That's something that I experienced at another company. I went through literally 6 interviews, and it's August, and I have yet to hear back if I got the opportunity or not. A part of me is definitely angry at that process. I think that there's way too many hands involved. And that part I talk about with friends, like a friend of mine, she's an executive. She's a nonprofit, so obviously different field. And she tells me all the time, she's like, I don't understand why sometimes I have an interview put on my calendar, that she said no to having interviews because she's asked the HR rep, am I working with this person? No. Okay, then what's the point of me even interviewing them? So that's a shift that I've noticed only because of my interview experience in the past 2 years. It's definitely discouraging because I'll never forget with another company I had an interview with on January 3rd. I was like, oh, my God, I have an interview with another HR rep. This might be the opportunity. They're going to offer me the role because that's what you would assume. If you see an offer coming in and you're meeting with someone from HR, you assume it's talking about your offer letter. No, it was just to reiterate the whole thing. And at the end of it, I swear, I guess it's, I just got so much guts these days that I said, can I ask you a question? And the representative said, sure. I said, what was the point of this meeting? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, I literally told him, I already met with 2 other HR reps. I met with 2 other hiring managers. What was the point of a 5th interview? So Sporting News got back to me first. Oh, he just didn't even know how to respond to it. He stuttered at first, and he didn't even know how to respond to it because it's just meetings for the sake of having a meeting on your calendar. It was so discouraging, Monique. And just thinking about it just gets me all riled up. But that's the one part I have to say that I've noticed that shift just because of my interview experience lately. Well, I mean, not lately. It's, thankfully, it's behind me, and I hope I don't have to revisit that for a very long time. But it was definitely aggravating.
Well, you know, most companies are look at the DEI lens when they look at their process. Do you think that has something to do with it?
No, I definitely don't think so. I think they were just wasting people.
I've had that, you know, in a group of women in collegiate athletic administration, they have had that feeling that they were a token interview. And so it's across industry.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
my
you know,
goodness,
we talked
that's
about.
The perfect term. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not taking up for the organizations, but, you know, depending upon who they have. See, it's supposed to be like a committee. It's not supposed to be just end up on your calendar. It's supposed to be that the person who's interviewing has some influence on the decision being made. And you do want, if your supervisor doesn't look like you, you do want to make sure that there's someone who does look like you and have some of the background that can speak to your experience. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
I completely understand.
Why you expand it, diverse is just the people that you will be involved with. And so I'm saying that because, you know, I got about 5 or 10 women who are in the pipeline for positions. And and it may be a longer process than just who they're dealing, you know, we're going to work with directly. And understand that it's a process. It is a process. And people are now trying to make sure that they don't have litigation, making sure they have different steps. But I like to talk about, you say, be kind to yourself. Because the thing that I like what you said is about control the controllables.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's definitely
about mindset.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Min.
Yeah, about mindset.
I want to say the mindset at the time was definitely in between giving up and, you know, still holding on to that little bit of hope. Somehow, a little ray of hope, like, all right. I remember I also took a break from even applying to jobs, and I also just became a mom. I'm a new-time mom. I just gave birth a year ago. And I said, all right, let me take a seat, and let me just enjoy this for what it is. And if I happen to see it across my timeline, then I'll apply for it. And if I don't see it, then I'm not going to go look out for it, because it was just very discouraging, very disappointing, the whole process of how opportunities or roles are put out there. Like, even when we put opportunities out there for Sporting News, I share it with friends, and then I speak to my colleagues, and they're like, yeah, I have to churn through all these resumes, because obviously the chances of you getting seen, it's like winning the lottery in a sense. So how do you stand up from the rest? But I think taking a break helps a lot. And I tell that to a few friends of mine. You know, be kind to yourself. Realize all that you've accomplished and get back into it in a few days. Take a few days, go for a walk. I definitely turned to working out a lot. And it's a great form of, like, getting out that energy.
So be kind to yourself. Take a break. And what's the other thing you said?
Oh, even go for a workout, go for a walk, go to the gym, take a class, anything.
I think that's great because, again, this, because in higher ed, this is the time that people are looking at new employees to fill holes, so other people got different opportunities, and the anxiety does build up. And so you have to take control of the controllables, be kind to yourself, and take a break, and probably get to moving. Movement is probably what for me, which this is sad, my husband go like, oh, she's upset. When I start cleaning up, that's the movement I'm getting into. He's just like, oh, she's upset. And so I want to thank you so much for taking time out to join us here in the garden.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's very inspiring to hear, again, like how long you've been doing this, what you're doing in the community, the courses that you're teaching. It's amazing. And keep on sharing.
Thank you, thank you. And thank you to our engineer, who's also a Hamptonian, our engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and podcast follow-ups on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.